in the garden of God. Father, bless your word. Give me wisdom and understanding in Scripture. In thy name I pray. Amen. All right, if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Genesis 1, verse 26. You remember I asked you a question. I said I'd be asking a question tonight. Where does your soul come from? Where is your soul? We know in the New Testament, the apostle made it very clear, body, soul, and spirit. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. So we're going to try to answer that question tonight, Lord willing. Genesis 1:26, the Bible said, "And God said, let us make man in our image." Who the "our" is, do you suppose, here? He's not talking to angels, folks. Angels were never said anywhere in the Bible to be made in the image of God.
No.
Nowhere. Nowhere. "After our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And later it says, "And he called their name Adam." Adam is a generic word. That's what it is. It's not a specific name necessarily. It simply means mankind, including the woman and the man. Yes. Father, bless your word now. Thy name I pray. Amen. Genesis 5:3, the Bible said, "Adam lived 130 years, begat a son." Now watch carefully how the word of God says this. "In his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth." And so this is important to understand. The Bible says plainly, man was made in the image of God. Genesis 9:6 says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse 7 says this, "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, forasmuch as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man." Now, we want you to start thinking, okay? You mean that the woman is not important? Oh, no, no, no. What's going on here is a beautiful type. It's typology. So what's that mean? Well, for example, Adam had a bride. Her name was Eve. Eve was the mother of all living, right? That's what he called her. He named her Eve. But Adam is also a type of Christ, because the Lord Jesus is called the second Adam, or the last Adam, rather. Second man, 1 Corinthians 15. He's the last Adam. So Adam and Adam, the first Adam and the last Adam, first one is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Lord Jesus has a bride, doesn't he? Yes, he does. And the church of God is his bride. That's his bride. It's the bride of Christ. Why does he need a bride? What's the point in having a bride? The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, put him to grief. When he shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, if you have any commentaries, you may have that one. It's very popular. Here's what they say. "His seed is his spiritual posterity, and it shall be numerous, according to Psalm 22, verse 30. So let's read Psalm 22, verse 30. "A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation." Isaiah chapter number 8 and verse number 18 says this, "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion." That scripture is quoted in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2 and verse number 13. And it's one of the greatest ways to learn the Bible is to watch the way the New Testament quotes the Old Testament, and the writer of the New Testament applies that Old Testament scripture. And here's what he says in Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse 13. "Again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me." He took that passage from Isaiah chapter number 8 and verse 18 and applied it to the Lord Jesus Christ and said he had children. Now, so what are we looking at here in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 7? Let's read it again. "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man." Now, what's going on? Well, she's going to bear the glory of her husband. And if she bears the glory of her husband, she'll be bearing spiritual seed from her husband. So what does that mean? She becomes Eve to Christ, the mother of all living. The children receive their image from Christ, who is the image of God. Because I was born again through the bride of Christ, I have received the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has restored the image of God. And ladies, you were the vehicle that God used to do it. The bride of Christ is important. This is why it can be perverted and called the Queen of Heaven. The bride of Christ is not the Queen of Heaven. The Queen of Heaven's a pagan, like Astarte and all the rest of them. But the bride of Christ is very important because it shows you the relationship that we have. She was not taken from the dirt. She was taken from the man. And when it comes to my salvation and my eternity and my new birth, it did not come from the ground. It came from our Lord Jesus Christ, who is bride. The Bible said all time, at one time, all things will be gathered together in Christ. Everything, Old Testament, New Testament, in the future, during that period that's called the restoration of all things, or the time of that an endless time. There's no the dispensation of the fullness of time is what it's referred to. And that's a wonderful thing to understand. So now, what has this got to do with souls? It's got a lot to do with it. An awful lot. How many of you ever heard of total depravity? You really need to put your thinking cap on now when you think about total depravity. What does that mean? What does it mean to be totally depraved? Well, here's what the application of it is. You are so totally depraved that you cannot make a choice between right and wrong and between God and evil. God must intervene. That's the doctrine of total depravity. Babies that are born, sitting in their diapers, according to some of these people out here, they believe that if they have not been graced by a certain group, that they're in hell. If they hadn't been baptized, they're in hell. Why? Because they were born in total depravity. Now think with me tonight, because this is heavy stuff I'm getting into, but it makes all the difference in the world. It'll make a difference in the world the way you perceive God, the way you see Him. It'll make a difference in the world in the way that men and women answer to God. What are we here for? What is this about? So here's what one group teaches. It's called traducianism. So what is that? Traducianism is defined in Webster's dictionary as this: a theological doctrine that the human souls of new infants are generated from the souls of their parents at the moment of conception, much in the same manner as the generation of human bodies. Now, did you get that? In plain words, the spiritual identity and essence of a baby doesn't come from God. It comes from their parents. That's called traducianism. Essentially, this was the theory of the Western church, which was centered in Rome. Now, when we talk about the Western and the Eastern, we're talking about the Western, which would be centered in Rome, the Eastern, which would be centered in Constantinople. Creationism affirms that the soul is created by God at the moment of conception. Each soul is created ex nihilo, or ex nihilo, in plain words, simply out of nothing. That's what that means. For each and every person, and is created instantly, immediately, and directly by God. Now, when you heard me say that, meditate on it. Because it came from God, right? Now, that has some strong implications. Yes, it does. We're going to move on into them here in a moment. But I'm trying to lay the foundation. Your soul and your spirit either comes from your mother and father, or it comes from the Almighty. One of the two. And I guarantee you, you can go out here and I'll guarantee you that if you run into a hyper-Calvinist, he will be a traducianist. He will believe that the soul and the spirit comes from the parents and is totally depraved. That's what he's going to believe. And he's going to believe that it takes an act of grace from God for you to even respond, believe, hear, have anything to do with receiving the truth of God, that you totally and completely are incapable of making a decision till God makes the first decision. That's total depravity. Yeah. That's some heavy-duty stuff. Yeah, meditate on it. Let it sink in. The Great Schism, 1054 A.D., which meant that they separated the Eastern branch from the Western branch over various things. One was marriage. The Eastern priesthood could marry. The Western could not. The fall of Rome took place about 476 A.D., and the fall of Constantinople about 1453 A.D., about 1,000 years longer. Yep. Constantinople lasted, and it fell to the Ottoman Turks, who in turn lost it in World War I. Yep. And if you'd like to know what the Ottoman Turks were about, get a hold of an Armenian.
Yeah. Amen, Pastor.
Get a hold of an Armenian. Just type it in.
Yep.
Type it in. Google Armenian, yep, and you'll get an understanding of what we're talking about. So it's a beautiful thing for you to think tonight that the woman did not come from the ground. She came from the man. It's important for this reason, too. Was it a man or a woman that bore the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, this is 2023. I have to ask that question. Because most people don't even know the difference between a man and a woman. You saw this latest debacle that took place up at the White House. This man got up there and you saw what he was doing. Okay? That was embarrassing. That's a shame. For something like that, I mean, that makes me ashamed of the whole thing. Yet they're proud of it. That's a shame. But in any event, this is what's happening, transpiring. You know what would be good? I'll tell you what would be very good. This would be the greatest poll the country would ever take. Gather all the veterans together. The veterans, the one who fought. The one who went, hit the beaches, fought. And of course, you can't do the one that are dead, but get the veterans together. Ask them what they think about this culture today in America. And then if you could, ask the culture in America what they think about the veterans. You kind of get an idea of what's going on, don't you? Yes. Yes. Total depravity. Do I believe in it? Absolutely not. I completely and totally reject it. There's also a doctrine of original sin. How many's ever heard of that? Okay. Now see, I told you we're getting into heavy-duty stuff tonight. But it has to do with who you are and how you think. And your relationship with God. Does God hold a man accountable? You better believe he does.
Amen.
He holds people accountable in a way that crowd has no idea. He holds every one of us accountable, but it's on a different level. They can't even comprehend what I'm talking about tonight. When they classify everybody and bunch them together and put them in one place, what are they accountable for? If you are totally depraved and you cannot answer, what's God judging you for if you're born that way? You take the unsaved. A few of these unsaved people out here got a few brains. And they look at the church and they say, you're teaching people that little babies go to hell because they're totally depraved? Is that your God? Here's a question. What's the difference between your God and Moloch?
Yeah,
because Moloch was a baby killer.
That's
right. Yeah, he was. I don't make friends like this. This is the kind of stuff I sit around day after day after day and think about and pray about and ask God to give me wisdom. So Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown said the Lord would have children, spiritual children. So how does he have them? He has them by a spiritual birth through the Church of God.
Yeah.
And you remember we've been in the Song of Solomon now for a few weeks, and we're talking about the Shulamite, and she's a type of the Christ, a type of Christ, type of the church rather, type of the bride of Christ. That's who she is. And there's pure love. Love is stronger than death. It's as strong as death. It's stronger than death.
Yeah.
Because there are those that would give their life quickly for those that they love.
That's right.
So the Bible says plainly in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 13, I and the children which God hath given me. The incarnation took place in Luke chapter number 1, verse 35. Now, what is that? That is an almighty, eternal, absolute being that is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Yes.
One of them becomes a man.
Yes.
He does not give up his deity. He never one time ceases to be God.
No.
But he incarnates himself into the flesh of a human being. But you understand, you have to understand what that means. The Bible said in Luke 1:35, the power of the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing should be born of thee, should be called the Son of God. She's literally wrapped in glory.
Yeah.
Wrapped in glory. Same glory that went into the temple when Solomon tried to dedicate it to the Lord. Drove them out. The same glory was that pillar of fire and then that cloud. It was the same glory that stopped on top of the Mount of Olives and for just a moment and looked back to the temple as the glory of God was leaving Israel for a while. It was that same glory where that cloud appeared on the top of the Mount of Transfiguration and the voice said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." No three tabernacles, just one. He never compares the Lord Jesus Christ to a human being. They don't rate. You're not qualified. You're not qualified to be compared to the Son of God. He is infinitely above us. Right. You've heard the term worthy opponent. You see what I mean by worthy? And there are worthy opponents. You don't get a champion does not get into the ring with a novice. He gets into the ring with a man who's worked his way there and earned the right to go to combat with the champion. So here's what it says about him being incarnate in flesh, Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Romans 8:3, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Philippians 2:7, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men. He was fully man, but not fully man under a curse. No curse. Well, he was born of a woman. Yes, he was. But the woman wasn't cursed. She could not hand a curse to him. Ladies, you'll appreciate that. No, she could not. Because he had no touch, no access, nothing to do with any curse. And so therefore the curse had to come somewhere else. And it does. It comes through the man. For as by one man, not one woman, but one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. Why? Because the man's made in the image of God. His accountability is higher than anything. Yeah. To be made in the image of God means that you are more accountable than an angel or a seraphim or a cherubim. Yeah. You're the apex. You're the consummation. You're it for the creation of God. He has never made anything any higher than a man. That's it. And so you see that and you think to yourself, boy, that's beginning to make a little sense. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49 said, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Colossians 1:15, he's the image of the invisible God. Colossians 3:10, and to put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The Lord Jesus Christ came to restore the image that Adam lost. You know, I've been talking about the image of God for some time. There's a lot of things that I talk about when it comes to the image of God. I use these references. For example, breathing. Nowhere in the Bible does it say an angel breathes. Although if it appears as a man, it may appear to be breathing. But it's not a real man. See? An angel appears as a man, but he's not a man. But he appears as one, see? You can entertain angels unaware. That's right. Nowhere in the Bible does it say anything but a man can pray. Only a man. And prayer raises you up high above, high above anything else on this earth. Think about the access and the privilege you have to be able to pray. That's just a couple. There's more things involved than that. But I give them out for you to make you think tonight now. Numbers chapter 16, verse 22. They fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, Shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. You remember I told you a few weeks ago that there is life from God, and there is the life of God. They're entirely two different things. For nothing can live apart from the living one. He's the one who gives life. He's the giver of life. But that returns to him, as the writer of Ecclesiastes said, is to all men. So there is a spirit in man which animates him. That's what gives him life. In other words, the life I live in the flesh, the life here on this earth. Isaiah 42 verse 5 says, thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, canst not tell from whence it cometh and whither it goeth, and so is all that is born of the Spirit of God. Men and wind are connected all through the Bible. We breathe. The Bible talks about our life, which is in our nostrils. The essence of life for an angel is entirely different from the essence of life that is in you. The breath that you're breathing came from God. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul, breathing. The Bible says here, he giveth breath unto the people, Isaiah 42, 5. Now listen to this one. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of it, and formeth the spirit of man within him. See that? That gets very personal. He forms the spirit of man that is in him. Hebrews 12, verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Jeremiah 1, 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So here is an ordained prophet in his mother's womb.
Amen.
Amen. I would say, I believe the Bible. I'm a Bible believer. Amen. Now look at this in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. This is familiar to all of you tonight. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Spirit, pneuma, soul, psuche, body, soma. You've heard of soma somatic or soma. In other words, psuche is the soul. Psychosomatic or psycho problems have to do with the soul of man affecting something. Psychosomatic means that the soul of a man is affecting his body, he or she. And you have on and on and on it goes. So where does the soul come from? Turn to Isaiah 57, 16. You ought to read that with me. I believe it's that important. Where does the soul come from? Isaiah 57, verse 16. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 16. I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. As plain as it can be. He makes the soul. It's not a simple thing. There's always a mystery associated with a man because anything spiritual is mysterious. But your soul came from God. That's where it came from. That raises a question. I told you I'm going to make you think now. Has God ever sent forth evil? Would he send forth something of that? Would something like that originate from him? Plain words, if your soul is totally depraved, do you think God is going to put a totally depraved soul into a body? That makes him complicit, right? So what does that mean? It means this. It means that you are what you are because of the choices you make. And you have been given that right to make these choices. And you make choices all of your life. And you need to understand, you can't blame theology. You can't blame the church. You can't blame this hyper-Calvinism. You have to accept the fact that you make choices and you suffer the consequences or receive the blessing from the choices that you make. And you were not forced to do them. And you were not put in a category where you couldn't make that choice. That's what God put into your body. That soul that came from him. And so therefore, when the time comes to be judged, you will have, if you have had the light of Christ, you will make a choice. Are you going to receive that light or reject that light? That's a choice you make.
Yeah.
If you are totally depraved, you have no choice. You following?
Yeah.
There's no choice. All the responsibility lies on one side, completely on one. But when you have it this way, the way I'm trying to explain it to you tonight, that you have an equal responsibility, like he said in 2 Corinthians 5,
yeah.
God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself.
Right?
Be ye reconciled to God.
Yeah.
God made his move, you make your move. See that?
Amen.
Ultimately, folks, the ultimate responsibility for every bit of this goes back to the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And the Bible says the day is going to come when they will judge God. Well, make no mistake about it, he'll pass the test.
Yeah.
For Abraham said, "Shall not the judge of the whole earth do right?"
Yeah.
If you leave this world, God forbid that you do. But if you leave this world in condemnation and go out into judgment, it's a choice you made yourself. It's your choice. So choose which one. You don't have to wait for some spirit to come around. You choose which one of your choice are you going to make. Because your soul, according to the book of Isaiah, came from God. It didn't come cursed from your parents. Now, this is not to do away with Romans 5. Romans 5 says, "For as by one man sin entered the world, death by sin, all have sinned."
Yeah.
Okay? But what you're talking about there is the judgment in a federal sense, whereas all mankind must give an account of his relationship to God and for the sins that he commits. That none have ever lived that do not sin.
Right.
But it does not mean that God took you while you were an infant in your mother's womb and condemned you to hell.
No,
no way.
No.
No, he didn't do that.
No.
He left it to you. When you hear that word, you receive that word, and you make your choice, and you do that all because God gave you the ability to make that choice.
Yeah.
And that's what you exercise. So your soul comes from God. Father, bless your word tonight.
Yes.
Thank you for it. I pray you'd give us wisdom and understanding in the scripture. Father, I pray that people quit making excuses and blaming God and blaming theology, that they'd accept the fact and the responsibility that they have to answer. They've got to give an account for what they hear, for what they see, for what they know. And that God is fair. He is just in every way possible. And they cannot lie and hide behind something like that. They must give an account. In Jesus' name I pray. For Jesus' sake, I ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.